Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new season of Hark the Pod, the DTH's sports podcast specifically focusing on, you guessed it, UNC Athletics. My name is Shelby Swanson. I am the sports editor of the Daily Tar Heel, and I am joined today by
Gwen Peace, the assistant sports editor of the DTH.
Lucas Tomei, the sports managing editor.
And Ben McCormick, staff writer.
Yes, so typically it'll be me, Gwen, and also Daniel Way, another one of our assistant sports editors. Daniel right now is out sick, so everybody just, you know, send him your best well wishes, and he will hopefully be on with us next week. Typically, we will be releasing episodes on Tuesdays, but we adjusted due to the Labor Day weekends, you know, got a rest. And we will also typically report on the weekend slate, focusing around football, but also got to show all the other fall sports some love. And we will be previewing any important upcoming games. And stick around later in the episode. We are going to have Ben, who you just heard, talk a little bit about this upcoming game against App State. He went to the UNC coaches press conference earlier this week on Monday, and we'll be giving you guys an idea of what they said about this upcoming game against the Mountaineers, and also a little bit of analysis from that South Carolina game this past weekend. So we are going to start talking a little bit of UNC football. On September 2nd, we saw the third meeting between the two Carolinas, quote unquote, since Mack Brown returned to UNC. All those being played in Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, UNC won this last matchup 31-17. A performance that boosted the Tar Heels' ranking in the polls. They went from 21 to 17 in the AP poll. So just to start off, we're going to talk a little bit about Drake May's performance in that game. So May, obviously considered a Heisman Trophy frontrunner already, he began that campaign on Saturday. He passed for 269 yards, had two touchdowns, but he also did have two interceptions, which a rarity for May. So we just want to discuss a little bit, how do we think May performed?
Yeah, so this is kind of an interesting one. Obviously, it was expected that May would play well, and he did. But it wasn't as perfect a performance as some may have expected. He threw for 269 yards, like Shelby said, and two touchdowns. But those numbers are relatively small compared to what he showcased last year. Take Wake Forest, where he threw for 448 yards, almost double the amount he threw for in last game. In fact, last season, he only threw for under 269 yards four times, and all four of those occasions were losses. If you further compare that performance to other Heisman contenders like Caleb Williams, USC, who had 319 passing yards and five passing touchdowns against Nevada on Sunday, it starts to look like a slightly more shaky performance. And then kind of going back to the two interceptions that Shelby mentioned, that also only happened twice last season, so I would definitely say it was a bit of a shaky game for May.
Yeah, and that's Gwen's take. We're going to throw it over to Lucas. Lucas, what did you think?
Yeah, it wasn't exactly an eye-popping performance from someone that you would see like talking about, you know, Heisman hype ahead of the season. To be fair, his second interception in that fourth quarter, not really the result of a badly thrown pass. Kobe Paysor, wide receiver, kind of just bobbled the catch. It landed in the defensive back's arms. Mack Brown said after the game that the offense was pretty perfect through the first three quarters, and I pretty much agree. I mean, five of the UNC's first seven drives ended in a score, and if you're just talking about, like, you know, get your hands off the abacus, watch the game, I thought May's mechanics looked really good. He was making some NFL-caliber passes, hitting guys in motion, really closing some holes between defenders. But you are absolutely right in saying that the stat line doesn't necessarily pop out. He was not perfect, and the offense was absolutely not perfect on Saturday.
And let's see. I think we have audio from head coach Mack Brown. What did Mack Brown have to say about Drake's performance after Saturday's game?
I thought Drake played great. He probably will have to look at it. He had a lot of pressure, and he probably forced two balls. But you know what? He made a throw to John Copenhaver for a touchdown. That he was on his back. He made another throw to Bryson Nesbitt with somebody hitting him right in the chest when he threw it. So if you don't make those throws and you say, no, great job, Drake, then you can't say that when he gets one intercepted. So, but I thought he played great. He'll be so hard on himself, because all he'll think about is the two interceptions. He won't think about all the other things he did. But I thought for three quarters, he handled the game as good as anybody could ever handle.
All right. So, yeah, I think now that we have everyone's thoughts, the thing that stuck out most to me is that obviously Drake May wasn't perfect, but he didn't have to be because the UNC defense was really, and some would say surprisingly, solid on Saturday. UNC recorded 9 sacks. That's the second most in North Carolina history since the NCAA began officially tracking the stat in 2000. Shout out Pat James for that statistic. Pat's stats coming through clutch on Twitter.
Former DTH Sports Editor.
Former DTH Sports Editor, yes. That's one that, you know, as UNC going off a little bit, UNC started racking up the sacks, and we were all just sitting around the press box at Bank of America like, okay, so let's try and find the single game stat. We were looking through the record book, could not find it, but Pat James on Twitter pulled through. Anyway, so this defensive effort we saw from UNC, a significant improvement from the struggles of last year. Again, just to compare, UNC recorded, I believe, 17 total sacks in 2022, and they just had 9 in their first game on Saturday. So quick maths, that is a drastic improvement. But overall, we just want to talk a little bit about what are some of the plays and moments that watching the game we thought stood out. So again, I'm going to kick it over to Gwen for that.
Yeah, so for me, I wasn't at the game. Shelby and Lucas were there. I was just watching from my couch at home. But the moment that I remember really being like, oh, I should start paying close attention was when Sed Gray sacked Spencer Rattler for the first time in the second quarter. Up to that point, I had thought that the gameplay looked pretty similar to last season. Nothing completely out of the ordinary, you know, productive offense. But the defense was looking kind of similar to how it looked last season. But then kind of in the second quarter, they seemed like they came alive after that first sack and really carried that energy throughout the rest of the game. So that was the moment that stood out to me.
Yes, totally agree. I think for me, I was very impressed by Elijah Huzzy's pass breakup during South Carolina's first drive of the game. Drake May said on Tuesday that he thought it was a huge play and that really set the momentum for the team. Also, of course, got to shout out the onside kick that South Carolina recovered to start the second half. You know, a little of that Beamer ball special teams magic, and it really caught North Carolina off guard. Obviously, they were able to recover, but that is another one that stood out to me. Definitely something that was likely talked about in the UNC locker room after the game.
Yeah, and it was interesting, Shelby, when I was putting in my notes for this podcast, I was going to put down Huzzy's pass breakup because, you know, we were sitting next to each other in the press box. That first three and out happens, and we all sort of just look at each other like,
hold up.
It's a bit of an eyebrow raiser.
Wait.
Just seeing how much UNC's defense just fell apart last season. That play seemed like it kicked the momentum off. And then, as Gwen said, that Sed Gray sack in the second quarter really got the ball rolling. But what stood out the most to me was in the third and fourth quarter, where South Carolina just seemed to consistently be able to just march deep into UNC territory. Spencer Rattler would rip off these big plays of 15 or more yards. But once they got within like 25 yards of the goal, the defense really like would lock up. It was that sort of like we talked a little bit about last year about that bend, don't break mentality, which is a sort of a backhanded compliment for a defense, but they did not break in those moments. What really stood out to me was May's first interception in the third quarter, gives South Carolina the ball at the South Carolina 30-yard line. Eventually, they played that into the fourth quarter. That drive's still going on. They make it down to the UNC 5 yards away from the goal. And Tamari Fox, nose tackle.
He's back.
He is back after missing last season. Sacks Spencer Rattler, forces a field goal on the 5-yard line, and that's the last time South Carolina scores all game. And, you know, the next two drives, South Carolina turnover on downs in UNC territory. So I think the second half defense really, really put the nail on the head for me.
All right. So we have recapped the South Carolina game that you all saw on Saturday, but let's look ahead. And we have, again, a very special guest. You heard from him at the beginning. We had the name drop, but again, we have Ben McCormick, one of our staff writers here. Ben, how are you doing today?
Yo, I'm doing all right. It's been a long day, but I'm doing pretty good. I can't lie.
Hey, Ben barely caught a bus to come here, man. We thought he was going to be late, but that just shows, again, the hunger, the dedication, just the dog.
Who wants it more?
In our staff. That is the man who wants it. So we have been here to preview UNC's game against App State on Saturday. Again, like I said, Ben went to that UNC coach's press conference on Monday. He has a little intel for us, so we are going to pick his brain. So real quick, Ben, we've all heard about the UNC defense allowing App State to score 40 points. I repeat, 40 points in the fourth quarter in last year's matchup. How did the coaches address this on Monday?
Well, on Monday, Mac Brown flat out said that last year's showing at App State made UNC, quote, the laughing stock of defense in the country.
Damn.
And I've been one to rag on UNC's defense. I bring up the stat pretty much everything I write, that they were bottom three in the ACC in both rushing and passing defense. And I think it might be time to stop harping on that, but we'll see. The App State game is going to be really crucial when we're looking at that. He added that they have, you know, a big load on their shoulders to prove that the defensive changes we saw against South Carolina are legitimate, that they're going to be able to carry that over as the season progresses. All in all, with Mac Brown, Chip Lindsey, every coach said that last year's defensive performance at App State was embarrassing, which is why they know it's important for defense to remain clocked in and prove that last Saturday wasn't just an outlier for this squad on defense, that it can be a consistent standard as they move forward.
Facts. You know, just adding on to that, on Tuesday in the players' press conference, Kamen Rucker was talking about that same fourth quarter performance, and he said that redemption is definitely on the defense's mind, and that letting App State back into the game last year was, quote, disrespectful. So they have a chip on their shoulder for sure, but it's not going to be easy. I mean, Ben, you've written a lot about how run dominant App State is. For example, Nate Noel, 150 yards rushing in the Mountaineers season opener. Just who and what should UNC look out for in terms of this App State run game?
Well, they're going to want to look out for Nate Noel, like you said, but App State gained 150 yards on the ground in their season opener against Gardner-Webb, and that's a stark difference when you compare that to what South Carolina got in week one against Carolina. They actually lost 2 yards on the ground.
Negative.
Negative two is crazy. But how much of that can really be attributed to UNC's defensive pressure versus is it just because South Carolina is a pass-heavy team? That's yet to be seen, but I think it's safe to say that Carolina will be facing a different style of offense in week two. North Carolina, that is. Sorry, South Carolina. So they'll have to be aggressive defensively. It'll be important to keep App State on their heels and attack the passer. App State's head coach, Sean Clark, actually told media members on Monday about how his team needs to improve its protection of the quarterback. And Carolina certainly did a good job of putting pressure on the passer against the Gamecocks last week, and they should look to do that again against App State. Making the quarterback's job difficult this Saturday will help limit the Mountaineers' offense and mitigate the damage their running game can do.
All right. With that, we've given you guys some intel, some ball knowledge to go into Saturday's game with, you know, impress all your friends. But before we move on to our quick hits, just want to go around everybody. What are your score predictions, starting with Ben?
Yeah, so I'm going to go 38-20 UNC. The Tar Heels showed vast defensive improvement from last season in week one. And even if the defense looks a little bit less dynamic against App, which it very well might, the improvement should be enough to lift the Tar Heels to victory. I think you'll see some rushing touchdowns on App's part, but it likely won't be enough to outscore an offense spearheaded by Drake May.
Facts. I mean, I'm right around that same ballpark. I said 38-24 UNC. I know that UNC offense talked a lot last week about they feel like they left points on the field on Saturday, so I'm expecting, you know, slightly more production on that end, but that being said, I think around the 20-24 mark in terms of points given up, because again, that App State run game, if UNC is being true in how much it is hyping it up, they are going to run the damn ball, pardon my language. So I anticipate the Mountaineers will rack up at least, you know, three tutties. So I'm going to go 38-24 UNC. Throw in a field goal there, too, for the Mountaineers.
Yeah, so my score prediction, pretty similar to what's been said. I'm going to go with 38-17 UNC. I think with the promise that the defense showed last game, paired with, you know, the increased performance capabilities that we know May has and a home field advantage, the Tar Heels should, you know, be the ones to beat this weekend. App State won their first game of the season comfortably against Gardner-Webb, but I think looking at the UNC defense playing against South Carolina, they'll be much better prepared in 2023, so they'll be the ones to beat.
All right, this is going to sound a bit drastic. I'm saying 45-10, UNC. First off, UNC, home opener. Drake May, he's not going to be liking those two interceptions that he threw. I think he's really going to take it to the Mountaineers. The Mountaineers, by the way, have lost two of their top linebackers from last season, Nick Hampton and Jalen McLeod. Nick Hampton's in the NFL now. Jalen McLeod is transferred to Auburn. I think you're going to see a lot of time for Drake May to work in the pocket, find his targets, and really put up points on the board. Meanwhile, App State has lost veteran quarterback Chase Bryce. They have some unproven offensive pieces. And I think the Tar Heels are really going to take their time and pick apart the Mountaineers this weekend.
Hot take alert. All right. So with that, you guys, you have the recap of South Carolina. You have the preview of App State. Again, that's this Saturday. Daniel and Gwen will be covering. I mean, there's only one thing left to do to close out this episode, and that is quick hits. Can I get a quick hits?
Quick hits.
Quick hits.
Quick hits.
Let's go. All right. So starting off, the number one UNC field hockey team picked up two more wins over the weekend in the ACC Ivy Challenge, defeating Penn 4-0 on Friday, and then Princeton in a 2-1 overtime battle on Sunday. And with her game winner against Princeton, junior Lisa Slinkert served herself as the Tar Heels' leading goal scorer with three so far in the season. And you can check out that recap by Jennings Lynn on our website. That is at dailytarheel.com/sports. Moving on, the number four North Carolina women's soccer team rallied for a 3-1 win over number eight Arkansas. With the victory, UNC remains unbeaten at 4-0-2. There are two draws, but they're still unbeaten on the season. And you can read Noah's side from that game again on our websites. And finally, members of the UNC men's golf team, David Ford, Dylan Menante, and Austin Greaser, represented Team USA in the 49th Walker Cup held at the Old Course at St. Andrews in Scotland.
The home of golf.
The home of golf, some have said. And Team USA staged a huge comeback to defeat Great Britain and Ireland 14.5-11.5 in the match play event, which included a singles and foursomes sessions. Those were played over 2 days over the weekend. So congrats to those players and congrats to Team USA. All right. And finally, guys, a few shout outs. Just first of all, thank you to everyone for listening to Hark the Pod. Be sure to keep a lookout for our next episode coming next week. We will recap that App State game. We'll have lots of new information for you guys on the entire weekend slate. You know, shoot, we'll probably preview that Minnesota football game too. We will have Daniel back and there will be a video element. That's right. We are going to have a video Hark the Pod for y'all to watch. You don't just have to listen. You can watch and listen at the same time. It's going to be incredible. Again, this episode was brought to you by me, Shelby Swanson, Lucas Tomei, and Gwen Peace. Shout out to Daniel Way and get better soon. Of course, special appearance by Ben McCormick. And as always, thank you to our audio editor, Sierra Pfeiffer, and to Adrian Tillman for the music.